Hello to all. It is May the 15th of 2025, and this is part 5 of the Unmasking Evil series. Well, it's been quite a task looking up every reference to evil that could be found using Strong's, and it has been an education, I must say. If this is an area of interest to anyone, I would highly suggest you do similar, for it is impossible to do so and not become more knowledgeable, about our Father and His Son, the Christ, Yeshua, to some. Before getting into this study specifically, I'd like to reference Christ's prayer recorded for us in John 17, verses 20 through 23, and we'll just read that. John 17, verse 20 through 23, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one." So that's the goal. If we're perfectly in harmony with the Father in Jesus Christ, then we will be at one with them. That just simply makes sense. "And that the world may know that you sent me," he did come from God, he was God's Son, "and have loved them as you have loved me." Christ intimated that he and the Father are one, not one being, not they're separate beings, but of similar mind and approach, and we are to, if we consider ourselves part of the Ecclesia, to join them in that situation. I recently asked a fellow who was familiar with the faith, but not of the faith, I said, "What is evil?" And his answer kind of surprised me, and yet not. He said the breaking of the Ten Commandments is evil. And I thought, well, how about that? He gets it. And yet many practicing Christians would not really believe that definition, or even if they did, their behavior would suggest that they don't. Do we think that Christ's definition of evil would be the same as the Father's, or would it be different? If the Ecclesia are in the image of Christ, would their definition and understanding of evil be the same as the Father's? It has long been understood that if one takes to themselves the right to determine what evil is, and that is a domain belonging exclusively to Jehovah, our Father, it's a death sentence. That, of course, goes back into the garden itself, and the choice offered, the result of which Jehovah made clear. If you take of that tree, you will die. It is apparent that after looking at this topic, as this series has developed, that the meme of not looking into evil is a spillover from the mindset as if you decide for yourself, you're done. That seems to have prevented a looking into what does Jehovah actually say is evil, and aligning one's own view with that of our Father. Wouldn't it be a natural thing for the Ecclesia to learn from their Father what really is evil and become one with him in their thinking? If the Ecclesia's thinking are perfectly aligned with the Father's definition of evil, would they not be at one with the Father and Christ and fulfill that prayer of Christ that we read? Would Satan not seek to discourage such investigation, to hide what is evil from them? It would seem obvious to me at this point of the study that the answer is, of course. If our understanding of evil is the same as the Father's in Christ's, we would be in agreement with them and at one with them, precisely as Christ laid out in his prayer. We've been very possibly discouraged from doing so. Attention focused elsewhere as one of the tools to do so. Distraction, if you will. Would there be anything wrong to looking at Scripture to find out what our Father views as evil and following that lead? I cannot see a reason that that would be wrong. Rather, exactly as the Ecclesia need to do. And Christ pointed that out in Matthew 6:33. And we'll just read that, Christ's directive. Seek first the kingdom of God, the place where God lives and the values that emanate from him, and his righteousness. There's such a thing as Satan and his evil, and there is God and his righteousness as the polar opposite. Our admonition from Christ here is to seek that, and all these things, you know, that we do have physical needs, there's no question, but with us being physical people. But our primary focus should be actively seeking the righteousness of God and not the evil of this world. They are opposites. And John understood that, and he spoke of that directly in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. We live in the world, and there's probably some things we quite like and we quite enjoy. And yet, the admonition in the scripture here is, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world and its ways, which are contrary to God's, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, doesn't say part of it, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, the opposite of the world, abides forever. Christ referred to the generation of his day as evil. And we did look at that, and I think it bears repeating. We'll just look at that quickly in Matthew 12, verse 39. Matthew 12 and verse 39, where Christ just simply made an emphatic statement. He says, an evil and adulterous generation. So Christ recognized the generation in which he lived, his physical existence, seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So he recognized the society for what it was. The apostles also did, as we'll come to see more fully in this study. What then did our Father think of the conduct of his people Israel back in the day? Is our Father's opinion of that evil and adulterous generation the same as Christ's, or is it not? What did Jehovah regard as evil? For surely his future spirit-born children will embrace their father's values, perception, and righteousness. Going through the concordance, far and away the most reference to evil by Jehovah is in the book of Jeremiah. There are many references as well in Psalms and Proverbs, but in the Old Testament, Jeremiah the most. Curiously, when one looks at the term wicked, Psalms and Proverbs gets the nod. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah in and around their kingdom being removed from them by Nebuchadnezzar. And that removal was at the behest of Jehovah himself. We would expect it to be rich in the Father's perspective, and indeed it certainly is. Looking at them then, we can get Jehovah's direct thoughts as they are recorded for us. And so we'll spend a fair bit of time in the book of Jeremiah because it is very instructive into reading into the mind, or reading into the mind of our God and our Father. So let's just set the context for this in Jeremiah 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 19. Then the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatheth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Jehovah, so the speaker here, the address is from our Father and our God, in the day of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So it was a time when God judged the nation for what it was all about, and he sent them a prophet, as is his custom to do, to warn the people. And here's the directive. The word of Jehovah came to me, saying, that's God the Father. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But Jehovah said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says Jehovah. Then Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and he said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, well, I see the branch of an almond tree. Then Jehovah said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of Jehovah came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And as I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And then Jehovah said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth, or evil, on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says Jehovah. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments, it was a time of judgment upon the nation, against them concerning all their wickedness. God had had enough. The descriptor here is very helpful for us, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. God regarded that as evil. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you. They're not going to like what they hear. But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says Jehovah, to deliver you. If we go into Jeremiah 2, we've kind of set the stage here, Jeremiah 2, and we'll look at verses 2 through 8. Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says Jehovah. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. They left their gods, although not completely, as we read in other passages. But it goes on to say Israel was holiness to Jehovah, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend, disaster or evil will come upon them. So they were the apple of God's eye. He brought them out to worship him. And anybody that messed with them would find the going a little rough. Hear the word of Jehovah, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, not only the Jews. Thus says Jehovah, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is Jehovah, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is Jehovah? And those who handle the law did not know me. They did evil before God. The rulers also transgressed against me. Going down to verse 11, God asked, has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory. They were given knowledge of the true God, and they didn't like that action at all. They tossed him out for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says Jehovah, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So not only did they reject God, they went on to build a foundation for themselves that was utterly useless. Going on in verse 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. And the people of Noph and Tahpenes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken Jehovah your God when he led you in the way of righteousness? And now why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or why take the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken Jehovah your God. And he comments here that the fear of him is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. And when we look around in society today, do we see a fear of Jehovah, or quite the opposite? Going down to verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he's found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, well, you're my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in their time of trouble, they will say, arise and save us. And God will say, well, where are your gods that you made for yourselves? Let them arise. And if they can save you in the time of your trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods. So they had replaced the true God with false ones and were perfectly fine with it. This is an oft-repeated theme in the book of Jeremiah, and we really shouldn't be so surprised. People, even God's chosen people, do not want to follow him. They just don't. God commenting in Jeremiah 4, "My people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." God alone is referred to in Scripture as good, and they have no knowledge of God. And quite frankly, they don't want to have a knowledge of God. They love their evil more. In Jeremiah 6, we'll look at verse 19. "Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring evil on this people." So God will bring evil upon people who choose the way of evil. "The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but they rejected it." So the words of God were not valued. In fact, they were totally rejected by many, if not most. Jeremiah 7, we'll read verses 21 through 28. "Thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the days that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you." Christ taught, the biblical Christ taught, we are to live by every word of God, "that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts." Their hearts were not right. "And they went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I've even sent to you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their necks. They did worse than their fathers." From God's perspective, all his words are commands and ways of life that are good and not evil. But mankind, including God's own people, choose evil. "Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of Jehovah their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth." If we go on to Jeremiah 9, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Keep in mind as we walk through this, this is how our Father actually thinks. "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears," Jeremiah speaking, "that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them." Notice Jeremiah understood those who amongst he dwelt, "for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." These are God's own people. "And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says Jehovah. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will ultimately utterly supplant. and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me, says Jehovah. This is God's perspective of his people who will not listen to him. Going on to verse 12, who is the wise man who may understand this, and who is he to whom the mouth of Jehovah has spoken that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? And Jehovah said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says Jehovah, behold, I will feed them, the people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. You know, this is all about prior to the actual invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. God sent his prophet to warn them and show them the evils that they have done and their departure from God. Let's go to Jeremiah 11, verses 6 through 17. Then Jehovah said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. We can begin to see this recurring pattern, and to do things contrary to God's commandments and statutes and judgment is regarded by our Father as evil. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And Jehovah said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. And behold, thus says Jehovah, I will surely bring, it says calamity here, but in the King James it is, I will bring evil on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. And then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars that, to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many? And the holy flesh is passed from you. When you do evil, then you rejoice. Jehovah called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. For Jehovah of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. It should be apparent to us after reading this that worship in any form other than how God has instituted is not well received at all. And we can begin to see the entire world having divorced themselves from the worship of the true God. Jeremiah 13. Then Jehovah said to me, "Go get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but don't put it in water." So I got a sash according to the word. When God tells us to do something, we are supposed to do it. And put it around my waist. And another word of Jehovah came to me the second time, saying, "Take the sash that you acquired, which is found around your waist, and arise, and go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in a rock." So I went, and I hid it in the Euphrates, as Jehovah commanded me. Now it came to pass, after many days, that Jehovah said to me, "Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there." Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I'd hidden it, and there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, "Thus says Jehovah, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people," notice the same assessment as Christ, "who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts, and they walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says Jehovah, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear." Jeremiah 16. Let's take a look at verses 9 through 13. "For thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall be when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, 'Well, why has Jehovah pronounced all of this great disaster, great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Jehovah our God?'" Perhaps they just didn't know. "Then you shall say to them, 'Because your fathers have forsaken me, says Jehovah, they have walked after other gods and served them and worshipped them and forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me.'" How many people actually listen to God now? "Therefore I will cast you out of this land and into a land that you don't know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. You've selected other foreign gods, well, go serve them and see how that works out for you. God will bring up evil upon people who choose evil." And when we're looking at the word evil, it can refer to the actual a situation where God would bring evil against a nation in punishment for their rejection of him. And we also have to look at where evil is defined as departing from God. So the word evil has a spectrum of meaning, and we need to be cognizant of that, whether it's talking about a specific event being evil, or whether it's an explanation from God about what evil actually is. And context will show us that and tell us that if we're willing to look. Let's go on in Jeremiah 17, and we will read verses 19 through 27. Jeremiah 17, "Thus says Jehovah to me, 'Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, Hear the word of Jehovah. you kings of Judah and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Can you imagine walking in Jeremiah's shoes and saying, hey, here's the word of God to you? I'm glad it was him and not me. Thus says Jehovah, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Does the Father want people, in this case his called and chosen people, to honor the Sabbath day? Is it evil not to honor the Sabbath day? Nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. So to not do that is regarded by our Father as evil. Do we see it that way? But they did not obey nor incline the ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says Jehovah, to bring no burden through the gates on the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work on it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of Jehovah. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Is that important to our Father? Is it evil to not do so? Jeremiah 18, we'll read verses 6 through 11. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says Jehovah? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil and begins obeying God, that I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice. What does God actually think about his voice? Then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Jehovah, behold, I am fashioning a disaster, evil, and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. It's always the same thing. Does Jehovah think in terms of something being evil or something being good? If the ecclesia, are to discern good and evil, should they not think in the same terms? Christ certainly did. Now, when we read of his comments, these are the things that come out of an evil heart. Even Pilate, when he was questioning the Jews about Christ, said, what evil has he done? Do we think in terms of things being evil or not? Do we think in terms of people doing things, including ourselves, that are contrary to the commandments and the wishes of our Father. What do you think? Jeremiah came to understand, or understood, something that we read of in Jeremiah 23, and we'll read verses 9 through 15. Let's pick it up here. My heart is within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of Jehovah. Can you imagine being the commission that he did and the reception that he got from God's own people? And it's interesting to consider before we press on here. You know, at the day, you had Christ, who was a Sabbath and holy day and clean and unclean meat observer, being killed by Pharisees who were Sabbath day, holy day, clean and unclean meat people. What was the difference? It was their Father to whom they served. Going on. And Jeremiah realized this. The land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil. Jeremiah recognized it for what it was. And their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. The corruption that Christ came up against amongst the religious leaders of the day was simply obvious. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says Jehovah. Does our Father look down and assess things as being good or evil, as wicked or righteous? Did Christ do that? Did he have that same frame of reference? And would not the ecclesia who are being made over in the image of Christ, would they not move in that direction? Going on, verse 12. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says Jehovah. And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. And I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies, spiritual idolatry, walking in the terms and the ways of Baal, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them, to God, are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts concerning the prophets, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. And you can just see this going on and on and on. What was the message Jehovah gave Jeremiah to deliver to Judah? Well, let's take a quick look at that as we begin to wind down. Jeremiah 25, we'll read verses 1 through 9. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, all king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, and I'm just skipping here because I'm kind of running out of time. And Jehovah sent to you all his servants, prophets, rising early and sending them, but you've not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. And they said, repent now, every one of his evil way and his evil doings. and dwell in the land that Jehovah has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Don't go after among other gods to serve them, worship them, and don't provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says Jehovah, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says Jehovah of hosts, because you have not heeded my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says Jehovah, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, against those nations all around, and I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment of hissing, and perpetual desolations. If we go on to verse 15, and we can see the future reference here. Thus says Jehovah, God of Israel, to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink, and stagger and go mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand, and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Not a job that I would like. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings, its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse as it is today. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, all the mixed multitude, the kings of the land of Uz, the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and all the kings of the coastlands which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of a mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth. Also the king of Shishak shall drink after them. And therefore you shall say to them, thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, drink. Be drunk and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword that I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall drink. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth. This is an end-time prophecy. Therefore prophesy against them all these words, and say to them, Jehovah will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes. Interesting. Against all the inhabitants of the earth, a noise will come to the ends of the earth, for Jehovah has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh, and he will give to those who are wicked to the sword, says Jehovah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, behold, disaster shall go from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become as refuse on the ground. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of Isaiah 66. It seemed to match so well. We'll pick that up in Isaiah 66 and we'll read verse 14 through 24. For behold, Jehovah, not Christ, will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, Jehovah will judge all flesh, and the slain of Jehovah shall be many. Notice some of the direction of this. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the garden after an idol in the midst. Idolatry is evil. Eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says Jehovah. God's command to not eat unclean things today is laughed at by this generation. They won't be laughing so much at that time. I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I'll send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pol and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory to the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to Jehovah out of the nations, on horses and chariots, and litters, and mules, camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Jehovah, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Jehovah. And I'll take some of them for priests and Levites. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make remain before me, says Jehovah, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Jehovah. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. There's going to come a time put on by God the Father where the whole world is going to be judged for its evil. How does that square with the Jesus that's preached today? What do you think the world today would think of such an arrangement that we just read about? Would they be in favor of it? Or might one expect a different reaction? Christ, being one with the Father, will be totally in agreement with these things when they occur. Who else will be? The Christ of the Bible will be used in a powerful way to establish a world where evil, as defined by his Father, is recognized, taught and understood, and avoided. Righteousness will reign. And what a different world that will be. David defines righteousness as all the commandments of God. Are the ecclesia really on board with all that? Christ taught a much deeper understanding of evil, more detailed, during his ministry, so that those who would follow him would walk in that direction and come to understand those things. To be at one with God requires the ecclesia both understand and embrace Jehovah's definition. For it will be the way of the future. To be at one with Jehovah would require no less